Are you at Luke 17? Can I get an amen? All right, I'm going to begin reading in verse 5. It says, "Then the apostles said to the Lord, 'Give us more faith.'" How many of you have prayed that prayer? Come on, come on. Give me a, I know you prayed it. Did all hell break loose in your life? "Give us more faith, Lord." You know the Christian way of praying. "Lord, give me more faith." And then trouble comes your way. That's how you know you got more faith to make it through. He says, "If you ask, I got to show you that you have the faith already." So I quit praying that. "Lord, I thank you for my faith. I thank you that it's bigger than a mustard seed. Thank you, Lord. Don't send no more. Thank you. Hallelujah." Okay, this is what the disciples were asking. "Then the Lord said, 'If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, pull yourself up by the roots and plant yourself in the sea, and it will obey you.'" Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, forever, for eternity, oh God. But I thank you it is the very substance that is necessary for our walk. It's necessary for our life. It is necessary as a blueprint on how you have laid out the foundation of heaven here on earth. And Father, I thank you that every word from Genesis to Revelation is the inspired word of God by your Holy Spirit. So, Father, I thank you for it now. We receive it, and we say yay and amen in Jesus' name. I began this series last week about root systems, the systems that the enemy works on. If y'all follow me on Facebook, I actually put the podcast on there. You were able to listen to it. If not, I'm going to begin doing that every message I have. I'm going to start putting it on the Facebook so that you're able to go to it and listen to it, download it, whatever the case. Now, I am not a world-renowned teacher. I am not a prophet of prophets. I'm a man seeking after answers. I'm a man that seeks after God because I love God. Amen? So I don't put any accolades out there that this is going to be one of those prolific teachings that's going to change your life and catapult you to your destiny. The reality is, every word that you hear that proceeds out of the mouth of God, you have a responsibility. The responsibility that you have is to receive, activate, and to walk in it. Amen? If we were to bring Zig Ziglar in here and he speak to you in this conference about leadership, it's your choice still to activate what has been given with the information. But there's some things that I do know by the Spirit of God. Information can go out in the atmosphere, but it doesn't become a part of you until impartation takes place. When impartation takes place, it becomes a reality in your life. It becomes a system in which you operate in, which is the heavenly system. And in that heavenly system within your spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that leads you and guides you into all truth. And I believe by the very Spirit of God, this word will be imparted to you by faith. Amen? Now, the root system that we talked about last week is how the enemy works in the root systems. But I want to talk to you about the root system of bitterness and its fruits. And I need you to understand that there are some systems that we work in as individuals that cause us to be bound. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus 15, verses 22 through 27. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. Exodus 15, verses 22 through 27. Verse 22 says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And then when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of God and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord God that healeth thee. You better hear this. And they came to Eliam, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the waters. Before I go any further, there's times in your life where God will bring you out, deliver you out of one thing, and you'll be found in a dry place. But the dry place in your life is not necessarily the thing that's going to cancel your destiny. The dryness in the desert, the dryness because you've been following after what God has said. You better hear this, house of manna. You may not seen the palm trees. You may have not seen the waters. You may have not seen the fruits of your labor. Maybe you've been sowing for a long time, but you ain't seen the fruits. But I'm here to tell you, you may get to a place where the water has become bitter. And when it becomes bitter, it's undrinkable. But he said this to Moses, look here to that tree. He said, put the tree in the water. You better hear this. Did he say, cut the tree down? Did he say, some of y'all have versions in there that say, and there was a piece of wood. That's not what the original text is about. The original text is there's a tree there. Put the tree in the water. Why would you put a tree in the water? What goes into the water with the whole tree? Say it again. The roots. You better hear this. There's some roots in your life that need to be plucked up that will make whatever has been bitter and dry in your life make it sweet once again. Oh, y'all don't. I wish I had me a church folk in here. Did you get that? See, some trees have been planted in order for you to uproot it and put it into a place that's been bitter, because the roots will make it sweet once again. How do they refer to Jesus? He is the root and the branch of Jesse. He is the root that comes into your bitterness to make it sweet by and by. You better hear this. Jesus getting ready to come up into your bitterness, into the area of your dryness. He's about to experience some things with you so that you have an understanding. I'm the root and the branch. Don't cut me off. Put me all the way in it. You can't get deliverance unless you get Jesus all the way in. Oh, Lord. You see, how many of you know that they're picking up brush now around the city? And I've seen all these people start cutting off all the dead limbs and all the excess limbs, what I call the suckers. See, there's some suckers in your life that need to be cut off. Because if you don't cut the suckers off, you're not going to grow. It's going to suck the life right out of you. It's going to suck the good nutrients right out of you. But if you cut the suckers off and you cut the dead things off, God says, I still don't want you to put only a piece in it. I need you to take the whole tree and put it into the water. What we would naturally think is say, we can't put the tree in the water because it's dirty. But what you don't understand is some dirt, my God, is there to make some things sweet in your life. What you were once bitter about that I didn't have, I've got some dirt for you. Why? Because when you were created, he created you from the dirt of the ground. He says, the beginning of creation, I reached down and I began to form man out of the dirt. Watch this, watch this, watch this. What did he do then? He blew into the dirt. So this is what he's saying. He says, when I created the heavens and the earth, and I spoke the trees into existence, my breath is in the roots. My breath is in the roots and in the soil. But you need the breath of God to resuscitate you from the bitterness that you're in. And there's going to be a mouth to mouth that is coming to you by the Spirit. I'm about to resuscitate you back to the willing vessel that you've always been. You've been wandering in a desert. You getting thirsty. But he says, if you drink of this well, my God, you will thirst no more. If you just drink of this well, you will be fortified. My God, this is the living water that he wants to get to you. But the bitterness keeps us entangled. Woo. I'm telling you, when I feel opposition, I know I got something to speak. I know I got something to breathe into the atmosphere. You can't speak without, my God, without the breath tickling your vocal cords. Because the breath comes from within and it creates in the atmosphere. But if the enemy can get you to shut your mouth, you can't speak, you can't breathe. My God, you better hear this. That's why we have so many people suffering from sleep apnea. You're so tired. You can't breathe. There's something clogging your membranes. Something clogging the airwaves. But God is saying, I'm about to remove that what is clogging the very breath of life. Woo. Why am I going to put a root that is dirty? If you think about creation as being dirty, you'll never understand the fulfillment of what God said. From ashes to ashes and from dust to dust, you came into this world from the dust of this earth. And when you leave this world, your body goes back to the dust of the earth. Why? He says, because I breathe life, I take life. My God. But the life that you only know about is here on this earth. I need to show you something. I'm going to do some things in the supernatural realm. When Jesus came on the earth, he didn't do things that were the right thing to do. He spoke to sinners. He ate with tax collectors. He was with the prostitutes. He was with the thief. He was with those that are always so highfalutin. Bless God. Praise the Lord. And when he got around the church folks that acted like they were so holy, he began to show them the holes in their theology and began to show them, just because you follow the Jewish tradition doesn't make you become more holy. You need to know something, that just because they followed the Jewish tradition didn't save them. My God, it was what was given to them by faith that saved them, and not the works and not tradition. My, my, my. Y'all better hear this. Oh, you better hear this. Last week when I left this service, the Lord told me before the service ever started, he says, I'm going to confirm to you what I'm doing in the midst of your service with the weather. With the weather. I said, Lord, you never spoken that to me. But I receive it. Prayed for people. I told my wife, it's going to rain. No, don't say that. We're going to the river. It's going to rain. So we're at Walmart, getting ready to head down to the river. The clouds start rolling in. But don't let it rain on us. No, baby, drench us. Drench us. Daddy, you spoke. I prayed for a young lady up here that was concerned about three lumps that she had within her body. And the Lord spoke to her and said, it's going to dissolve. It's going to dissolve. The doctors went in the very next day to go and do a biopsy, and when they went in to do it, it dissolved right before their eyes. Oh, you better hear this. Because if this was your ailment and this was your thing of fear, you better hear this. Whatever the enemy has placed there, whatever he's brought to scare you, God is saying, I'm going to dissolve it. I'm going to remove it. I am going to uproot it. But I'm about to plant new roots in you. Watch the weather. Watch the weather. Now, I begin to ask this of God in the Spirit in my prayer time. I said, don't let it be because of some of the stories that Harvest, the minister that came through Harvest, we spent time, and he was sharing with me with Bob Jones that God would do that with him. By all means, I do not want to be like a Bob Jones. Nothing bad about it, but I know the cost. I want to be who God wants me to be. I have my own trials I'm going to have to go through. But when he told me I'm going to confirm it through the weather, I said, don't let it be, because I had a conversation with someone about it. Please, God, if you're going to do it, do it. If not, it's okay. I still believe. And when he did it, it came down. I had my son Josh and Jaden, mother, son over there. And it came down. It came down hard and fast, but it never thundered and it didn't lighten. Watch this. It was supposed to storm really bad over New Braunfels. It only rained just for a little bit and it lifted. It rained once we put our foot into the water. And as we were going down on the inner tube, watch this. So, yeah, Pastor likes to have fun. Okay. Going down the inner tubes and it's raining. I said, God, I sense this is what you're about to do for the people of God. The storms that they've been in is not there to frighten them. It's there to bring life to them. Are you hearing this? The Bible says that when the disciples were in the boat, they saw Jesus. They thought it was a ghost. Okay? And it says it was a great tempest that arose. It was a great storm that arose. But it was in the very storm that a miracle was performed. Something supernatural. It was a wonder that made people even to this very day continue to preach on it. That a disciple that had the right amount of nerve to say, if it's you, bid me to come. Y'all missed it already. You missed it already. If you're in the midst of your storm right now, start asking God to bid you to come. Start asking God to bid you to come, because you should already know that it's him. You should already discern that it's him. Lord, I thank you for the storm. Let it come. Don't matter. You're there. You're in it. You're in the storm. Bid me to come, Lord. Let me do a wonder in this place right now. Let me walk on this water. Let me come to you, God, because it's not me walking on the water. It's me coming to you. That it doesn't matter what the storm looks like, I'm still coming to you. I may leave some people behind. They may not have the faith that I got. They may not know where I'm going, but I know where I'm going. I'm coming right at you, Jesus. I want to go where you go. I want to do what you do. I want to say what you say, and greater things that you have done I shall do here on earth and in my lifetime. So I will continue to pursue after you, God. I ain't going back down. I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to keep on keeping on. And when the enemy wants to come my way and he wants to blow me to the left and blow me to the right, push me backward, I know that you're getting ready to bring an end to my storm. You're about to come into my vessel. You're about to come into my boat, and you're going to speak to the wind and it will be silent. Hear this, people of God. He's getting to the root. Your faith has been crippled based on your bitterness. Ooh. Your bitterness. I'm going to give you three things. This is going to be a series. I'm going to take you into all different kind of roots. Because the Bible says that the Lord is coming back for a church that is without spot and blemish, without wrinkle. I'm going to put the plancha to you. That means I'm going to get the iron out. I'm going to iron out those wrinkles that we have. The only way that an iron really works, it's got to be heated up. We don't like to be touching the, hey, not that one, Pastor. Don't know. Don't touch that, Pastor. You know I tithe here. You know I'm taking that sign down for you. You know, Pastor, don't talk about that, because then I just won't do. Then your heart wasn't in it to give. Don't do that. You curse your own seed. But when God wants to put that iron to start taking the wrinkles out of the church, he begins to speak truth. What you do with that truth is on you. Thank you. I got a hallelujah in the house somewhere. I don't know about you, but when that plug that iron in. Lord, Lord, I know it's going to hurt. And there's going to be some pressure on me. But mira, qué chulo que estoy. Look how cute I look. Why? Because you got to go through and get ironed on. Come on. All right, number one. Bitter roots cause deception. Bitter roots cause deception. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Just take the notes down. You can go to it later. I promise you, I'm not going to give you something that's not in the Bible. I promise you. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Watch this. The enemy, the serpent, came into the garden to do what? To trick Eve. But what was the enemy really doing to trick Eve? How was he doing it? All he did was repeat back to Adam and Eve what God said, but with the question that made you question his word. Okay, all right, look. It's deception. Deception is caused by bitterness. Why? Oh, because God comes in and says, "I have made this garden for you. You can eat of every fruit of the trees except the one in the middle." So bitterness will begin to rise up in you. Why are you putting limitations on me? Some of y'all feel like you're entitled to everything. I told you, the plancha has been turned on. I'm going to get all these wrinkles out, and it hurts me too. You think, I've got that big old plancha. Next time you see me, I'm walking like this. What happened? I got the plancha. Instead of the chocolate, I like that one. I'm not giving you the chancla, give me the plancha. Pues, what's the plancha? Oh, you don't want to know. But listen. So, we feel like we're entitled to the things that God says we can't have. If he shut a door, don't get mad at God because the door shut. Oh, pues, the kingdom is all mine. If he shut the door on you, he shut it for a reason. But what that does is begin to cause bitterness. And in that bitterness, you become deceived that God didn't want you to have a blessing. But the reality is, he didn't want you to be deceived with the corruption that was behind that door. Oh, God, I'll take what's behind door number three, please, because three is the number of God. It's the Holy Trinity. So I know that three is for me because it's from you. No, you're being deceived. If he shut the door, don't get angry. Start to worship and then thank him that you didn't go through and fall short of the glory of God, because what he did is stop you from harming yourself. I don't want to go there, God. No. No. Blessings of the Lord add no sorrow. Add no sorrow. But we think that we're entitled to every blessing that's supposed to come to us. It says, and if I don't get what I know that you have, that you're supposed to release, I become deceived that you're trying to manipulate me. Yeah, I'm going to break it down on the reel for you. Oh, Lord. I already got the walk going. Look, you know when you have someone going to try to deceive you, they put everything on that you like. They put everything on, do it, and say everything that you like just to get what they want. That's called deception and manipulation. But you feel because you didn't get what you wanted, when you wanted it, and how you wanted it, you become bitter. And you deceive yourself and begin to get bitter towards God. The truth of the matter is, we have to understand that the deception started at the very beginning. Satan himself was deceived in his mind. He became bitter because he thought he could be like God. He thought he could be the God that created the heavens and the earth, so he wanted to rule in heaven. God says, "Ay, mira tú, really?" Bitterness causes deception. So the root came, watch this. Where did the root come from? The root came out of heaven, cast down on earth. Where did we find that bitterness show up at? In the garden. Against the creation of God. There's your bitterness. What is the first fruit of that bitterness? It's to deceive the creation of God. Did you see that? Deception came in because Satan wanted to be God. So he casted him out, and a third of the hosts of angels casted him out. Where did he cast him? Cast him here on earth. So when he creates Adam and Eve and places them in the garden and he puts parameters and he puts the blessing out there, what came to deceive Adam and Eve? Bitterness. This is what he tells them. Surely God didn't say. Yes, God did say. Surely he knew that if you were to eat of it, you'd become just like him. No, we were already like him. Let us make man in our image. We're already like God. Then he says this to Adam. Well, he knows that your eyes will be open. Our eyes were already open. We didn't have to see fear or sin. So the bitterness that was in Satan caused the deception to come to the creation so that the creation becomes bitter to the Creator. Did y'all get that? So we walk around through lineages after lineages after lineages. It is the iniquities of the forefathers that we have a tendency to be dealing with these roots in our children, our grandchildren, our mamas, our great-grandmas, and our great, and our great, and our great, and our, all of them. It is deception, bitterness. I'm entitled. I want my inheritance now. I want what's mine now. We can't get people to sit down in church and serve in a church because they're ready to take the stepping stone. I'm called to be a preacher. Take it. But when you get beat down and you get stripped naked like the sons of Sceva, we'll be hollering at you. Then we'll ask you again. You're called to do what? Oh, I just want to serve. Good, sit down and serve. There ain't nothing wrong with serving. If we have everybody preaching, who's serving? Jesus didn't come to be the head. He was already the head. He came to serve. He came to serve. We can't get people to show. Oh, Lord. We can't get people to show up on time to church because they'd be hiding in their closet, hiding in their mess. As long as I look like I'm okay in church, they don't know the stuff that's going through in my marriage. As long as I'm okay, everything is hidden behind closed doors. Ain't nobody going to know what I'm going through. But as long as I just get there after praise and worship because the music is a little bit too loud. God says, I didn't ask you to come and criticize the thing that you want for you. I came to tell you what you needed. And most of us don't like the medicine that God has given us. And so we won't swallow the pill that he's trying to tell you. You need this thing to be in your life so that it can take root into your spirit so that you can be set free from the thing that you've been battling for decades. Mm-hmm. The plancha. For those of you on the podcast, that's the iron. It's heated up. It's heavy. What's to make you bitter? Once you to feel deceived. Watch this, watch this. Go to Galatians 3:1. I think it's up here, right? Yeah, go to Galatians 3:1. I want you to see this for you. This is in the Living Bible, the Living Bible translation. If you have it, go to it. If not, just write it down and look it up when you get home. Most of you have your Bibles. Just write it down. Watch this. I'm going to read it to you. It says Galatians 3:1 in the Living Bible translation says, verse 1. O foolish Galatians. I love the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, he don't pull no punches. He don't pull no punches. I'm going to write you a letter, and I'm going to tell you like it is. I'm going to write it so that you can always go back to it and read it for yourself. He says this. Oh, foolish Galatians, what magician has hypnotized you and cast an evil spell upon you? For you used to see the meaning of Jesus Christ's death as clearly as though I had waved a placard before you with the picture on it of Christ dying on the cross. Watch this. What he is saying here is that who has bewitched you like magic? What is bewitching? It is a magical thing, as I'm going to make you look here so I can deceive you over here. I can make you look at the things that you haven't received from God as a blessing that you feel like you're entitled to. And over here, I'm actually getting you to the point that you're so upset with God that you begin to get angry at God, begin to get bitter towards your people in your life and your loved ones, that you're no longer thinking straight, acting right. You're beginning to follow after the deception because what you're seeing is nothing but magic. Are you hearing this? His trick has always been to get you to see one thing, but he's working over here. How many of you ever see prophetic words? I mean, you don't care from me, whoever. Prophetic words, and it hadn't come to pass. Yeah, what usually happens? You get a little weary. Mm-hmm. The Bible says don't get weary in doing good. Be doing good, you won't get weary. Do good. Do good. Hallelujah. Watch this. So that what happens when you get a little weary and your hope is deferred? What happens when your hope is deferred? It makes a heart sick. Why do you say heart? Out of the whole scripture in the Bible, it says, what is the most deceitful place in your body? Your heart. So what do you think the enemy's going to use? He's going to use your heart. He's going to use your feelings and your passion to see what you want to see, but in the background make you get so upset that you can't see clearly, even though it's being waved in front of you, saying, are you forgetting what was done on the cross? Are you forgetting what the meaning of your walk in Christianity? Are you forgetting everything that I have instituted for your life because you're so worried about gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy? Mm-hmm. You foolish Galatians. All right, now, let's go to number two. Number two, bitter roots defile. Are you seeing that right there? Defile. Hebrews 12:15. Oh, which incident was? Defile means to stain or to dye. D-Y-E. Dye. Like you dye clothing. My mama used to show me back in the day. We don't got to go to solo serve no more. I'm going to just dye your clothes and make them darker, make them look new again. I don't know about that stuff. See, we used to do it in school when you used to do that tie dye. But when you dye something, it stains it and it stays that color because it gets into the fabric and it gets woven into it. It gets into that woven fabric and it gets into the very fibers of it and it stains it all the way through. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? So what is to defile? Is to dye, to stain. Now, what is the color that cannot be removed? Red. You ever drop big red on with some barbacoa on the side? Look to your neighbor and say, I'm going to make you hungry today. Make you hungry. You're going to want to eat the good things of the Lord. But if you drop something red or you spill red dye, it is so hard to get out. Even if you bleach it, it's still going to leave a tint. Watch this. To defile is to stain. Hebrews 12:15. looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What will bitterness do? It'll defile you. How will it defile you? It'll stain your faith, it'll stain your belief, and it'll make you become so angry and upset that the fruits that come attached to bitterness is anger, rejection. The list goes on and on. This is the root of roots. Bitterness is the root of roots. I told you where it came from. It came out of heaven. It landed in the garden. What was the garden representative? The garden was representative of heaven. You, the kingdom. Everything you ever need is right there. Even had the rivers flow into it, did it not? All right, come on. You better get this. Better get this. God can remove your stain of sin through the shed blood of Jesus, can wash you white as wool. Now watch this. I want to show you something here. The root of bitterness has stained generations from Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, and David and his brothers. Bitterness. In Genesis 25, verses 29-34, y'all know this. This is where Jacob and Esau. Turn with me to Genesis 28. Go to Genesis 28. I want you to see this. Genesis 28, verses 6 through 9. I'm going to begin reading at verse 6. Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Mesopotamia to find a wife. He also learned that when Isaac blessed him, he commanded him not to marry a Canaanite woman. He found out that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Mesopotamia. Esau then understood that his father Isaac did not approve of Canaanite women. So he went to Ishmael, son of Abraham, and married his daughter Mahalath, who was the sister of Nebaioth. Watch this. You have bitterness rooted in you because of what someone has done to you. What happens is you begin to react, and there's consequences to your actions. And what happened is he began to come against his own authority, against his mother and his father, and what the father told him not to do. He purposely went and did it. Or did you see that in scripture? Why did he do it? Because he was bitter. And when you become bitter, you all of a sudden have people that stand in opposition to your bitterness. Watch this. Was Jacob really there to take him out? Now, Jacob was called the heel grabber. Jacob was the heel grabber. He grabbed Esau. Now, watch this. I know you know the story because y'all are scholars in here. When Esau was born, he was born with the red hair. They called him the red-headed child, right? But he was born with all this hair, like Chewbacca. Y'all know Chewbacca? Star Wars? He's had so much hair on him. That says something. Listen here. The babies that I've seen, they've been born, maybe they got a lot of hair, but she said the baby had hair all over him, like red hair. That's why they call him Esau. Edom. Chewbacca came out and was mad. Now, Jacob was grabbing the heel because Jacob wanted to come out first. Jacob was what? A deceiver. Now, we know the story where now Esau was a hunter. He was a hunter. He knew how to hunt. Knew how to hunt very well. That even his father loved Esau because Esau knew how to hunt. Oh, that's real good when you know how to hunt. You know how to hunt. It's real good. But if you don't know how to care for yourself with integrity and character and begin to put the things that are necessary for your use, all you're ever going to do is kill meat, kill flesh around you. But you're never going to be able to substantiate what your actions are because there's going to be a time in your life when you get hungry. Watch this. Oh, Lord, y'all don't want to hear this. Jacob was cooking. He was making menudo. Y'all know what menudo is? Y'all don't know? Some of y'all on podcasts like, Pastor, I don't know what your
Your references are to all this Spanish food. Okay, that is the tripe. It's the honeycomb tripe. Okay, but listen, he was making a pot of stew. Okay, he was making a pot of stew that was red. Now watch this. Now he's making this, and Esau comes because he's hungry. He is so hungry, Hannah. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I am about to die. Now you ain't about to die. You just hungry. Now he comes to Jacob and tells Jacob, "Feed me, for I'm about to die." Jacob says, "Give me your birthright. Give me your birthright." So what does that mean? He says, give me your inheritance, your portion of your inheritance. What does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked, because it means double than what you have now. So what was Jacob trying to do? Jacob was trying to deceive and get what he wanted. So the deception was there so that he could get the birthright. But what I find so interesting is that even after that, menudo had to be real good, Mom. It had to be so good that Esau says, you know what, I'll give you all my inheritance. Give me that bowl of menudo with the hot sauce and give me that little bread right now. I can stick it like, And then, whew. So then gives up the birthright and walks off and okay with giving it up. Now, do y'all know the story, or y'all looking at me like, where are you going? You lost me at menudo. I wish we had y'all on video. Your stomach is growling. No, I don't like me neither. But if you'd have talked about having some mole, I'd talk about some mole. Pastor, again, with that Hispanic food, it's like this chocolate sauce. You put a little bit of peanut butter in there, and then you just kind of let it stew over a little bit. It kind of got liquefied. Then you put that over some chicken. You stew some chicken, put that chicken bone in there, and you let it just kind of simmer together. And all those ingredients get inside the fiber of that chicken, and it stains it. Had a moment. Watch this. But here's what I'm going to prove to you. I'm going to prove to you something. Watch this. If you look in Genesis 25:34, you'll see that Jacob gave and Esau ate. Genesis 3:6, Eve gave and Adam ate. David gave, watch this, and the brothers ate. Joseph gave, and the brothers hated. See, what happens with bitterness, someone's going to come and feed you something to make you feel deceived or defiled and keep you to the point of jealousy. And in that jealousy and rejection, you don't want to let go of the root that has been instilled in you. You will always be in a battle because of the bitterness inside. What is being brought to you for you to eat? My question to you is, what are you eating? And from what table are you eating from? That's good, Pastor. No, thank you. That was good. Amen. I love it. Watch this. Go to Ruth, the book of Ruth. I'm going to speak this to you right now. Number three, bitter roots causes depression. The reference will be in Hebrews 12, 16, and 17. I'm going to read that real quick. Hebrews 12, 16, and 17 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. Oh, Lord, here's Esau again. Who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Here's rejection now. For he found no place for repentance. That's it. When you turn away, you're bitter, upset, you're angry at God, you will not repent for your deeds. Though he sought it diligently with tears. Bitterness will cause depression. Now watch this. With that depression, I want you to look at Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty.
Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Are you seeing that? When we think that God has taken these things away, there are such things called natural causes. There are some things that are called accidents. There are some things that take place in your life based on other people's actions, but that's not God taking away from you. That's some things that are happening to get you to where you really need to be. Because if things would have went right, she would have stayed in the other land where the other people were worshiping other gods. Now, Naomi says, I was full when I left, but I came back empty. She was bitter. Call me Mara, for I'm bitter. Now watch this, watch this. I'm going to bring it back around. I'm going to end here. When you get depressed, you are being afflicted and oppressed that is causing you from receiving your joy, receiving the happiness, and receiving truly what God has instituted for your life. Do you understand that? If Satan himself was the angel of praise, he was in charge of the praise. Why do you think he wants to stop you from praising? He doesn't want you to take his position. He doesn't want you to step into that role, because he knows the more you praise, the more he inhabits your presence and your praise. He, meaning God. So he'll try to stop you from doing it. How will he stop you? He will make you see the things you do not have and feel like you're entitled to, and make you become bitter, and you become depressed. And when you become depressed, you become profane. You become like Esau, and you become a fornicator. Now, don't get this twisted. A fornicator means nothing more than just doing and having an appetite for worldly things. An appetite. Look at your neighbor and say, are you hungry? Are you hungry? I'm about to feed you something. I'm about ready to remove from you the very bitterness of the warm wood. Watch this. Oh, this is good. Rejection will cause a series of actions that will make you feel isolated, abandoned, and depressed. Feeling not blessed, but cursed. Things not going right, but going the opposite. We know that in Deuteronomy 28, the book begins to tell you that you're blessing the field, you're blessing the city. If you keep my commandments, you'll be blessed. If you do this, you'll be blessed. But then right after that, it says the other portion of Deuteronomy 28, it says that then you will be accursed if you don't do these. You'll have a curse if you don't do my precepts or my word. Now, what we have a tendency to do is legalism comes up through this as a way of a root. Legalism will tell you that if you're not doing what God has told you to do, you'll be cursed. Now, the truth of the matter is God has come to bless you. Who can curse what God has blessed? Oh, man. Now watch this. In reality, a curse is defined as a consequence. A consequence. That's what it's defined as. In Deuteronomy 29:18, it says this. So that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. And that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. Take down that note. Wormwood. It is a root of a plant. And if it's planted by water, it makes the water become bitter. Don't miss this. I'm about to bring this home for you. Get ready, because we're on the home stretch. Are you ready? There are some seeds of deception that the enemy has planted by your river of living water that has come to make your living water become bitter. You won't notice it until the roots grow into your streams of blessings. How does it get there? It gets there by a word that is spoken over your life that you begin to give an ear to. You begin to feed yourself on it and you begin to cultivate that word. And it had nothing to do with God. It had everything to do with the enemy to make you become bitter. There's a root of bitterness that is turning your springs that are living into bitter springs. Now, I'm going to share a little bit more of this wormwood and then I'm done. Promise you. In Proverbs, it says that a moral woman is like the wormwood, which means poison. Poison. In Revelations 8, verses 10 and 11, I'm going to read it to you. Revelations 8, verses 10 and 11. It says, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. What star is that? Satan. Burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers. Now, watch this. And on the springs of water, the name of this star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, bitter. And many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Are you seeing this? Now, I am not going to speak to you this prophesy, this gloom and doom. The waters are about to be tainted. The enemy has come into your springs of life and has caused you to be poisoned with a lie. And if you don't discern the lie, you'll believe it to be a truth. Because every lie that Satan spoke was spoken with a half-truth. Are you hearing this? When he tempted Jesus, he tempted him with the word, but only half of the word, not the full truth. But if we don't discern the truth of the word, we'll follow after the deception that the enemy is speaking. He's going to poison the stream. Careful now. In Jeremiah 9:15, reads this way. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them this people with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. What is gall? It is poison, bitter poison. Jesus is speaking this. He's speaking this through God and speaking it to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet that speaks to the body of Christ, for they have turned from their ways and began to follow after other gods. He is the weeping prophet. Why is he weeping? He is the prophet that's saying, I know that the God that you serve, you have forgotten. You have become bitter towards God. You've become angry towards God because you feel like you're entitled to everything right now. Oh, God, hear this. Psalm 69, verse 21 says this. Psalm 69, verse 21. They have also given me gall for my food, and for my thirst they have given me vinegar to drink. I'm going somewhere. Watch this. Matthew 27, 34. They gave him sour wine, vinegar, and mingled it with gall. Watch this. Wormwood to drink. When he had tasted it, he would not drink. This was commonly used as a painkiller for those being crucified to make them numb. Watch this. Jesus tasted the bitterness, but he never drank the bitterness because then he would have been defiled. He never was defiled. He tasted the bitterness when it was given to him. You in your life will taste bitterness in your life, and you got to know, don't drink it. You may taste it, but don't inhale it. Don't drink it. Don't keep it. Get rid of it. There's a bitterness that has come your way. Get rid of it. Uproot it and put it in the sea of forgetfulness. There are some things that will come up against you, but Jesus said this. They may lie. They may beat you. They may whip you. They may accuse you and curse at you, but Jesus did this one thing. He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. How do you get rid of bitterness? Forgive. Stand to your feet. Go to that playlist. Look at here. I know we went over. But it's God's time, not our time. It's God's time. I love it when God has control of the service. I love it when he wants to speak something. Because it's something that we have to understand. Bitterness is going to come to every individual. It's going to come.
Somebody's going to offend you. Someone's going to say something. Someone's going to lie to you. Someone's going to really come against you. They're going to spread all kinds of rumors about you. You can taste it. You can taste it, but don't drink it. Because the moment you drink of that bitterness, it takes root. Look to your neighbor and say, don't drink it. Don't drink it. Come on, don't drink it. Taste it. And then ask for forgiveness. Watch this. Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. Have you ever had somebody come into your life and do some things, do some harm, and that you got to forgive them? That's the bitterness. I don't want to forgive them. God, you get them. God, you deal with them. He says, I am. But God, it seems like they're getting blessed. Why are you blessing them? Because I bless you too. But why are you blessing them? They've done me wrong. You've done wrong too, and I bless you. You see, the entitlement makes you feel like you have to have it now. Jesus said unto the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Don't drink of the bitterness. Don't drink of it. Some of you have to forgive God and ask God to forgive you because you have bitterness towards Him. Ask Him, forgive me, God, because I've held this offense towards you. Why did you take my son? Why did you take my daughter? Come on. Why did you allow my marriage to go through what it went through? Why? Why? All those whys. That's that magician. You feel like you have to have the answer now. You feel like you have to know now. Oh, but my brother, my sister, they went on too soon. Why couldn't you, or why didn't you, God? They come against you. People lie about you. And you get bitter. But legalistically, what we do, so I forgive them, but you hold the bitterness towards God. The action that took place wasn't God that hurt you. It was man that wounded you. Humans, mankind. That didn't mean that God sent it to you. There's some things that happen based on actions, consequences. And with that consequence, you have to face something. But if you follow after that smokescreen, you're going to get bitter at God because He hasn't turned things around. He hasn't brought the blessing to you now. He hasn't healed you now. You're still battling this thing you're battling, but yet, I forgive others, but I don't forgive you, God. That's what you got to ask God to do, is to forgive you for holding that grudge towards Him. Now, you can be religious and say, I'm not that way with God. Search your heart. Search that root. Because in that bitter water, He's asking you, throw the whole tree in there. Throw that whole tree in there, roots and all. Because I'm going to uproot it. But I'm about to make your water sweet once again. I'm about to make some change in your life. Pastor, you say that a lot. It's because I believe it. I believe it. I don't have to see the outcome. I just trust it right now. That's what faith is. He says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, pluck yourself up, roots and all, and be cast into the sea, and it'll obey. If you thought that your years should have been different than where you're at right now, you become bitter in your walk. You had a different expectation of your outcome and where you're at.
But your expectancy wasn't his expectancy. Things do happen in life that was not of your control. Don't become bitter. Let it go. Now, right where you're standing, just right where you're standing, I want you to put your right hand on your belly button. Come on. Trust the Spirit of God. I'm just a man. But I'm a man that came with authority to speak. I speak as a messenger of the Lord. But the right hand that is on your belly button is the hand of authority. Jesus says that the right hand of the Father means authority. Your right hand is the hand of also a blessing. Yeah. See, when Jacob blessed his children, he placed his right hand on them and he blessed them. It's a hand of blessing. So right now with your right hand, Father, I thank you that your Spirit, the Spirit of the living God that dwells and lives within them, come in agreement with them right now. And the authority that is inside of them right now, come forth. Come forth. Speak to the root of bitterness right now. And Father, we place you at the root of Jesse and the branch of Jesse. We plant you within their system, O God. And let the system of heaven be the determining factor of their actions. Let it bring conviction, Lord. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit lead them out of the bondage. Father, right now, I declare and decree over their life right now in Jesus' mighty name to stir up the spirit man. Awaken and arise. I bless them. Stir the waters within, O God, and bring the healing that is necessary for them right now as they allow forgiveness to take place. For forgiveness is not for the other person, the forgiveness is for them. If someone has wounded them, Father, bring to the remembrance, oh God, where the wounding took place so that they can uproot it, Father, and get rid of the offense and get rid of the bitterness so that they're no longer depressed, no longer oppressed or deceived. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. You have your very way in their life. And I thank you for the blessing now in Jesus' mighty name. And those of you that believed and received said amen. Amen. I pray that you are blessed. I'm going to continue on this whole, let's get to the root of the issue. Next week I have a message that's going to be on the same vein of roots. But I'm going to speak about rejection. Rejection I see so rampant in the church across the land. They feel like they're not being accepted. They always walk in a place of rejection. And if you don't have the understanding that God has never rejected you, he's never left you, he's always walked with you, you'll have a better understanding of what God really wants to get to you. There's so much more, so much more. So before you leave today, I want you to look to your neighbor and say, I was fed today. I ate today. And I drank of the goodness of God. I may have tasted bitterness, but I didn't drink it. I drank of the living water of God, and I will thirst no more, for my life is established in him. Amen. Hug your neighbor on the way out. We'll see you next week. God bless you guys. I love you.